One time he said, call out skin, something on the skin needs to come off. That's all he told me. So I said, okay, you have something on your skin I see disappearing. Well, what disappeared was the tattoo off this lady. Began to disappear. Now, if he had told me command tattoos to disappear, my brain would have probably said, or I don't know, you know, I would have some unbelief. So he only gave me enough info so my unbelief wouldn't ruin it. And her tattoo began to disappear. She called her friend on the phone, told her hers began to disappear. And they both got saved from that.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. It's like the glory is like leverage. Who's the faith you have, not to get the person healed, but to go into a higher realm of glory, and then his hand gets extended versus just your hand.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, guys. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be an amazing episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright, and my special guest joining me for today's conversation. He's an international bestseller. He's a prophet. He is known for his massive crusades around the nations. I think he's been to 70 countries doing crusades. He ministers literally to millions of people collectively and moves in a realm of glory, the glory of the Father that just comes and sets people free. There's mass deliverance, mass salvations, mass miracles. He's just moving literally, like I said, in the glory of God. And he's just brought out a new book, which is called Glory and the End Times. And the content is powerful. It's flown from decades of him experiencing the presence of God as he's traveled around in partnership with Jesus all over the world. So it is my joy. And I'm so excited to welcome into the conversation with me today, David Herzog. David, welcome.
It's great to be on the show. So excited to be there with you in the UK.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited to have you on. And we're definitely going to make some time during our conversation to pray for you guys, because I know loads of you will be like, oh, I want the glory. I want to experience what he's moving in. So we'll do that. But yeah, I wanted to jump off with you, David, and just ask you, how did you first enter into the glory realm that you're moving in? How did you first experience it? So I want to know kind of some of your backstory, really.
Yeah. So we were missionaries in France for 12 years, and I was seeing healings, miracles, even had a six-month revival breakout in 1998, and it went for 6 months, and I only pulled out because I said, God, there's got to be even more than this. But it was awesome. Every night, souls are saved. I prophesied that France would win the World Cup so that the pastor would continue the revival because he was going to end it after a few weeks, and then France won 3-0 like 2 weeks later against Brazil, and then the pastor said, okay, we'll continue. But after that, I pulled out because I was just so desperate for the glory. And I had a level of glory and anointing, but I didn't understand why I don't have Acts chapter 4. I had Acts chapter 2. You know, they preach the gospel, souls added. But I'm looking at Acts 4, like Charles Finney would go into a town and they would feel the presence of God miles ahead. And I was like, man, I want my shadow to heal the sick like Peter had. I want to see the signs and wonders. I want the multitude saved. Because after Acts 4, it says the number of disciples multiplied. So I sought the Lord, fasted, prayed. Then he sent me to several places. And one of them was with Ruth Ward Heflin in Ashland, Virginia. And she was like a mother to us. She was like a glory apostle is what I call her. She was a prophetess. And she kind of pulled us in. I went there just to see her and be in the meetings. I arrive and she says, hello, David, you're preaching tonight. Now, you know you're burned out when you find out you're the preacher and you're disappointed that it's you.
Yeah, said, right.
Oh, no, I don't want to. I'm done. I just want to hear you. I need something fresh. No. The Lord told me you're preaching tonight. I was so disappointed because I went there to receive from her. I got on the stage and the glory hit me like I've never been hit before. And it's like it revolutionized my life. I was taken to like heaven. It felt like I was in heaven for 7 days. And I just said, God, I don't want to lose this realm, whatever this is. I didn't know they existed. I've known the anointing, goosebumps, but I didn't know level of intimacy and ecstasy in God even existed. I talked about the glory, but I had never fully experienced it, I don't think. And it's hard to explain unless you're in that realm. And I said, God, whatever you do, take not this realm, like King David, take not your spirit from me. So my whole life has been so moved by that, wrecked in a way. I didn't care about ministry anymore. I just don't want to lose that realm, that intimacy, yeah. that cloud. And so from that then on, that's what changed everything. And for a few years, she was like a mother to us. And she called me, "Hey, what are you doing this weekend?" I'd be in France. I said, "Oh, I'm mowing my lawn. I'm not preaching this weekend anywhere." She goes, "Yes, you are. You're preaching here." She did all the time. I said, "What are you doing Wednesday? How would I get there by Friday?" "Well, you get on a plane." I said, "How? No one knows I'm coming." "Oh, I already advertised it for the last 6 weeks. I forgot to tell you."
Love it.
"You don't need to pray about it. I already prayed about it. You're coming." Anyway, she was just like, she wrote a book, sold thousands of copies in Charisma Magazine. And I said, "Can I get the book?" "Oh, I don't have it yet." I go, "Okay, when is it coming out?" She goes, "Well, it's supposed to come out in a few weeks. I better hurry up and write it." I said, "What?" She put the cover. She already had it in her spirit. She just didn't even write one word of it yet. So she worked backwards. So she had it all. And then she wrote it quickly. I mean, she was another realm.
Just amazing. I got to tell you this, David. So 27 years ago, Jesus directed me to go to Nashashibi Street in Jerusalem to Ruth Ward Heflin's ministry. And so I actually went there. My daughter was one. And I had no idea where I was going. Met Nancy Burgeon, who was her pastor in Israel, working with her in the ministry, right? And it's the first time I'd ever experienced the glory realm. I walked into the meeting and, like you're talking about, you know, so the week before we got there, there were lots of people in the meeting who'd seen a lady with thalidomide. Her arms grew back in the glory. Nobody prayed for her. She had no arms and they grew black in the glory. Somebody had been healed from stage 4 cancer and had glory, gold dust pouring out of her hair every time she shared the testimony.
With Savanya.
Yes, yes. It was amazing. And then there were gemstones appearing all over the floor. The Israeli scientists were testing. And it's literally people just simply worshipped. Simple, simple songs. And the glory of God just came. And I was wrecked as well. I was like, okay, I'm undone. I want this. I want this. Where you literally just love the Father. And this realm of glory opens up and everybody is restored and healed and delivered and nobody was laying on hands. It wasn't like you said, it was a huge difference between the anointing and the realm of the presence of the Father that just came and restored everything. So that's amazing. That's amazing. So yeah, that was my...
Were you there when Ruth was there?
I was there when Nancy was there. Ruth was in America. Yeah. Yeah.
There at that place you're talking about. In 1999, yeah.
Wow.
There. And then it was amazing. And then went back to the camp. I would go there and then back to the camp in Ashland.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so tell us a little bit like the difference of what you've experienced. Like, because you've seen obviously thousands of miracles over the years now, profound ones. Like, are there any, this is a hard question, I'm sure, because there are so many, but Have there been any ways that Holy Spirit's moved like that? The glory has come and you've just been so impacted by what you've seen.
Yeah. I mean, even the last few weeks, I've noticed an increase in the power. I call it power surge. So I'm in the meeting and all of a sudden just like, it could be a 3-minute, 5-minute power surge comes in. And in those few minutes, mass deliverances, major miracles. We were in France last week and this power surge came in the room. The first few minutes, it usually happens right when I grab the mic. I'll sing in the spirit in those first few minutes. This power surge hits. The first one was a blind eye healed. Then we had a lady just suddenly start screaming in the back. And this guy's carrying her wheelchair or her walker. And she's walking and she couldn't walk. She had 3 accidents, car accidents, could not walk. Just, and everyone's screaming because they know her. And wow. We were in Samoa also a month or two ago. Same thing. This power surge comes into place and there's the first 2 blind eyes, deaf ears, cripple walk. It just starts. It's this power surge, and it happens in the worship, I noticed, in the glory. And I'll grab the mic, and I'll sense, wow, this is so awesome. I don't want to ruin this. I'm just going to keep singing in the spirit a little bit instead of just preaching. And then I'll wait a little bit, and sometimes God will say, now. And Pakistan, that happened. You know, there's a 500,000, I'm in front of 500,000 people. 2 nights of 500,000, 2 different cities, 1 million people. Most of them all got saved. Just,
oh my gosh.
It wasn't hard. Because once the glory comes in, they're like, whoa, what is this? Then they see the miracles, the deliverances. They're just like, yeah, I want Jesus. You know, if this is Jesus, I want him. So I think most people, because Jesus is the King of glory, right? So most of us operate in an anointing. So I always say it's like a battery of a computer or your phone. You know, you charge it, you use it. And when that red light starts blinking, hey, you better plug back in. You know, you do an outreach in some country and or Africa, and you're praying, and you're casting out demons, you're healing the sick, you're laying hands. After a while, you feel like virtue leaving you and you need to go back to your hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is different. You're plugged into the central power source while you're ministering. So you're never losing, because it's not coming from you. It's coming from the open heaven. It's the Acts 4 versus Acts 2 levels of glory. Acts 2 is one level. They went out, lay hands on the sick. They did all the stuff. Acts 4, they went again to like an upper room type setting, cried out to God. He came. And next thing you know, Peter's shadow is healing the sick. Signs and wonders, not just healings were happening. And the number of souls wasn't added daily. It went into multiplication. The souls even increased. And even the fear of the Lord increased, because in Acts 2, they mocked them saying, you guys are just a bunch of drunk people. And the Holy Spirit, you've been drinking alcohol. Acts 4, they fear to join them. So there's a shift that comes in the greater glory.
I don't know if that helps. Oh, it's so brilliant for you to show us the difference, explain the difference for us, because obviously we are familiar, in lots of us around the body of Christ, we're familiar with the presence of Holy Spirit within us and moving out His glory coming out from us. You know, we're laying hands on and His Spirit's moving and restoring people. But this is, would you say, when you're using language like the realm of the glory of the Father, is this what you mean?
Yeah. It's like if you went to heaven right now, if you had cancer, terminal cancer, and you have 3 weeks to live, but you walked into heaven right now while alive, how long would that take for that cancer to go? So
instant.
That's glory coming on earth. When it's there, then you can say, oh, it's here. So then let your will be done on earth as it would be in heaven. So we know that scripture, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But what does it really mean? Well, how would it be in heaven? It would be like this. So when the glory would come, then Jesus, the King of glory, go, stand up and walk. The kingdom of heaven is here now. So part of that, people focus on kingdom part, they don't focus on the heaven part. The kingdom of heaven, glory, here. So the glory comes, you're aware of it. You're like, oh my gosh, heaven's here. In heaven, there's no sickness. So get up and walk. Be set free from that demon, because heaven is here. Kingdom of heaven is here. So that's a revelation of bringing the glory wherever you go.
That's hugely, hugely important. And it's essential, isn't it? Where, you know, this is our privilege as the children of God to be able to walk overshadowed by the glory, because because that's the reality that we live in, tuning into that. Okay, I wanted to ask you, so how do you, somebody who's sitting there up now going, okay, I know about the anointing, I know about the presence of God within me, how do I step into this next level? How do I host Him and bring this realm of glory into, through my life and over my life? Can you help us? How do you steward this way, His presence?
The first thing you do is you read all my glory books. That's the first step.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
But I start from the day, I'm joking. I start from the day and I worship Him. So worship's the first. I don't start, when I start my prayer day, I don't go, hey, Lord, I need this. Oh, I bind all these attacks. I praise Him and I worship Him. This basic 101 of glory is not just any music, praise. When people say praise, a lot of times I tell a worship team, hey, can you do some praise? And they'll do slow, hallelujah. That's not praise. That's slow worship. So I said, praise is the breakthrough, victory, you know, warfare, King of Kings, you know, shouting, yelling, dancing. You praise Him. And after a while, you start feeling you don't want to shout anymore. You want to just be intimate with the Lord. That's a spirit of worship. So you praise Him, sense the spirit of worship come. Then you shift to the slower, intimate worship songs. And you worship Him until the heavier glory comes. Then what I do is, after that glory comes, I wait. I don't start praying yet, because they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I keep some background music going, and I just wait a while to see what I could see or hear what I could hear. And oftentimes in that waiting, I'll see a prophetic vision of a nation or something He wants me to pray about and declare a thing. And then I'll see it in real time start happening, that this door opens, this nation opens up. Then I have my prayer time with the Lord. You know, then I have the things I've been asked on my heart. Hey, Lord. But I don't start that way. I worship Him. I praise and worship. I wait on Him. I decree what He tells me to pray. Like one time I was out there praying on my patio and the glory was just so thick. I was like, this is wonderful, Lord. And I wait a little bit before I go into my prayers. And the Lord says, I want you to declare 3 nations in Southeast Asia to open up. Okay. So I go, okay, Singapore, Say, China, that's too far north. It can't be China. Malaysia, Indonesia, open up in Jesus' name. Within an hour or two, I was invited to all three nations, three invites. And we went 3 months later, I did all those three on the same trip. It was crazy. And major things happened. So one work in the glory can open up. Nations can open up. It's amazing. Then just in faith, what you want God to do is different than, because Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I hear or see my Father do it. So that's why you want to get in the glory and try to see what you can see or hear what you can hear. And then declare what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus was always successful when he prayed, because he said, I don't do anything unless I see or hear. So I was in Quebec and we had all 5 days of meetings. It was great. French Canada. Last service, last hour, I'm ready to go home. And this guy goes, pray for this kid, like almost commanding me to pray for this kid. Like make him heal. And I'm like, what? I don't work for you. I work for Jesus. He goes, heal the boy. Like I said, well, first of all, I'm not the healer. He was crippled from birth, 13 years old. And he said, we've had everyone in the world pray for him. Every famous evangelist, every famous, and he named the names that you and I would know. I said, well, what makes you think my hand is going to make any difference if all those people prayed for him? I said, I'm not going to pray for him unless God shows me what the issue is. And he was offended. You're not going to pray? I said, I could do a courtesy prayer, or we could ask God what the real issue is. So they were just looking at me. There was this Italian family. The whole family's there looking at me mad, you know. And I said, Lord, no pressure, Lord, but what do you want me to do here? I don't want to just do a courtesy prayer. He knows he's loved. He doesn't need to know he's loved. He needs to walk. And the Lord said, okay, tell that guy that's bugging you to help you. Pick him up, put him over your shoulder, one arm, and he grabs an arm and just walk. So we did that. I grabbed his shoulder, We walked with him, but his leg was just limp. So I just obeyed. And I try to help God. So I go, let's let go, see what happens. No, he hit the floor. Didn't feel it because he was poor. So then we,
oof.
So at least he didn't feel it. So we get, So if you're going to do that, make sure they don't feel it. So we pick him up again and we're walking again. And then the boy says to me, in heaven, I can walk. My mom told me. I said, well, yeah, because, you know, there's no sickness. And he says to me, but heaven is here, right? I go, exactly. Oh, you listened to my message. And he says, wait a second. If heaven is here and in heaven I can walk, I should be able to walk. I go, exactly. He got the revelation. He goes, hold on, let me try now. He pushes aside and he started walking. First time in 13 years.
Gosh.
He had to get the revelation.
Wow.
That was the difference. Yes. Parents were trying to just get everybody to pray for him, every known minister. And I knew I'm just going to be the next guy that tried to pray for him. And I want to do a little courtesy prayer. Oh, God loves you. No, you need to walk. So that's the glory realm where it's a different way. Anointing, you can do things. You can be backslidden and still have an anointing on your life. You can be drunk in a bar, in a pub in England and still have the prophetic gift on you, but you're not walking in intimacy with God. You're not living holy. You're not in the glory. Glory requires intimacy to live right, to stay in relationship with him, and the glory on your gifting. So the anointing is the giftings are irrevocable. But glory is beyond your gifting. So I know how to have anointing to pray for people, but there's realms of glory where I'm seeing miracles beyond my own faith level. Like I don't have the faith. I mean, I'll pray for him, but I'm like, oh, I hope this works. But yet God's doing beyond what I can ask or think. Like one time he said, call out skin, something on the skin needs to come off. That's all I told him. So I said, okay, you have something on your skin I see disappearing. Well, what disappeared was the tattoo off this lady. It began to disappear. Now, if he had told me, command tattoos to disappear, my brain would have probably said, or I don't know, you know, I would have some unbelief. So he only gave me enough info so my unbelief wouldn't ruin it. And her tattoo began to disappear. She called her friend on the phone, told her, hers began to disappear. And they both got saved, by the way, from that.
Yeah.
I guess like the glory is like leverage. Here's the faith you have, not to get the person healed, but to go into a higher realm of glory. And then his hand gets extended versus just your hand.
Yeah.
Dementia is when the trees are talking to you. Dimensions of glory is when you're speaking to the wind and the waves and the rocks, you know.
So people,
what's the difference? I don't know. Check the medication. That's the difference.
But it's what you're saying is you're walking as Jesus did, right? Aware of the Father's presence in the realm of the kingdom that he's moving in and literally so tuned in. That what he speaks is the Father's voice. What he sees, he's, like you said, he's just going about the Father's business, and that's what you're doing, isn't it? And stewarding your internal world so nothing gets in the way, nothing hinders your sensitivity. So you're walking yielded and pure, and, you know, that's your lifestyle. Your whole lifestyle is worshiping before him, isn't it? Which makes a humongous difference. Like you said, you know, you can be anointed and drunk.
Yeah.
You can be gifted and in a complete mess or burnt out. This is a different level. This is a walk of holiness yielded to the Father and just staying in step with him, which is a...
Because I would notice, like,
yeah,
if your pastors are watching, if you're a good pastor, you probably pray all week, you maybe fast, you prepare your message, you preach Sunday, it's powerful, and you pray for everybody, and on Monday, you're wiped out. Because, that would be me. But then in the glory realm, I started noticing, as I'm ministering in the glory, I go minister, I come back, I'm still vibrating till 4 a.m, I can't sleep. I can still witness to the waiter, waitress. I'm like completely, and like, what is this? Because it renews you, because you're not charging your battery and then going to Starbucks and using your laptop. You're actually, while you're using it, it's recharging from the central power source of heaven. So you're connected to heaven everywhere you go, and it's recharging your battery of your anointing.
Yeah.
Versus only using your anointing till it burns out and then you're done. But yeah, you're connected to heaven. You're not relying only on your gift and anointing. You're going above that, above what you can ask. You know, the priests were anointed to minister in the temple, but when the glory filled the temple, even the priests couldn't do their normal anointed duties.
Mm-hmm.
There, it was so thick. So the glory is just, it's not just power, it's intimacy with God. It's refreshing. There's joy in his presence. It's just, it's everything. And it keeps you humble, and it keeps you wanting to walk holy, because if you grieve the Spirit, you'll know immediately, you know. But if you're only operating on gifting power only, you could be living in sin and it could still operate. And that's why you have a lot of ministries right now in trouble, because they focus more on the outward public appearance of their ministry, even the giftings and anointings, but they let the bottom drop out, you know, the bottom just drop out. And so they forgot why they started in the first place. It's just for him. It's not about us. You know?
Yeah. So for people like, you know, there's lots of leaders that watch this show around the world. What would you suggest if that's their, you know, if you guys right now are experiencing what David's talking about and you're tired, how do people shift? Like, what would you suggest, literally just from this point, to move forward into a different life, into life of stewarding the presence of God like this? Because it's an urgent hour, isn't it? And everybody wants this.
Yeah. I would take some time off. Like, I had to pull away from ministry, because if you're in a ministry, it's nonstop. Then you just run, whatever you carry is what you have. You don't have time to dig a deeper well. So I had to pull back. Go for a weekend on the mountains or do whatever you have to do. Fast, pray, seek his face, say, God, I'm desperate. I want you in a new way. I want you in a brand new way. I want to see your face like Moses. Like, I've seen your hand, but I want to see your face. I need a new touch from just being humble and just being broken before the Lord. And you do that, something will overshadow you. I'd say pull away, slow down for a season. It can be a weekend. It can be a month. It could be whatever it is. And wait till he, you know, they had to pull away and went to the upper room. They were doing ministry, but they had to pull away and they waited till they were endued with power from the Holy Spirit. Then they went back out again. So yeah, go into all the world, but wait till the promise of the Spirit. Then Acts 4, they said, oh my gosh, look at the threats. Lord, give us boldness. They could see, like you're seeing in UK and other countries, things are starting to creep in. It's getting harder and harder. So they said, oh God, they went back to an upper room type setting, stopped preaching, sought his face. Until he showed up again, place was shaking, earthquake, right?
Yeah.
And it says, in great power, not, then you get power, great power came. It went from power to great, and great grace came, not hyper grace, great grace, and great provision, not one lack, and great multitudes of souls started getting saved. Everything went on the great because they pulled away and said, Lord, it's great. You've used us up to now. We've laid hands on the sick. We've cast out some demons. We've seen people added to the church, but some, for what's coming on the earth and the attacks that we're getting, Lord, we need something greater. And they realized that they went back to that upper room type of prayer, sought the Lord, and he endued them again with power. So we need multiple infillings of the Spirit and the glory, not just one time. We go
forward. So good. So needed what you're sharing right now. It really is. And I think, you know, it's the case for many, many, many of us in the body of Christ. People are crying out for more. They need boldness. They need power. They need the anointing to see breakthrough happen. They need to know their identity and their authority. And, you know, there's a hunger for the more right now. So what you're bringing to us is an essential message. And the Lord knows, right? He knows the time that we're in. There's also something I wanted to ask you this, and then let's move into whatever is in your powerful spirit from Father, just release it, you know. But I wanted to ask you the power of the blood. because you speak into that, the power of the blood, where we're moving to a place where we understand and are so transformed in our DNA because of our understanding of the power of the blood that we become. You use this phrase in your book, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Unkillable. Literally, oh, yeah. you know, because we have so much revelation, and we've been able to apply the blood so completely into our DNA that we are transformed. And just take a couple of minutes. Will you just speak into the power of the blood for us? Because I know I've also been in heaven, had an encounter with Jesus where he showed me, he spoke to me very clearly. The message of the blood is coming back center stage in our time. We're going to understand what was accomplished at the cross. So it's very, when I was reading that, I thought, yeah, it really resonates with what I've seen in heaven and what the Lord's shown me.
Wow. Well, yeah. So we know life is in the blood.
Yeah.
Blood is like, how do I explain it? The blood of Jesus is almost like an interdimensional technology.
Oof. So yeah.
When you take the blood, it has memory. The blood carries actual memory. Like, you could take certain blood tests today and the doctor can tell you, oh, this is what you're prone to because your family line on the blood line, this is what sicknesses you could possibly have. But in the spirit realm, your blood also carries memory of your destinies, callings, even those in your family line. So a lot of times you wonder, why do I always have an anger problem when this happens? And my grandfather had it and my father had it. So there's these generational things and the blood, and you could be saved and still have those sin natures operating. But when the blood of Jesus does its full work, it actually short circuits the memory of the sin nature. And then not only that, you say, Lord, I don't ask you just to break generational curses off my life. Most people, that's all they know. Now I ask you to break off and liberate the generational blessings on my family line that my father or grandfather should have had, but they didn't walk into. I claim theirs. And I started doing that, and amazing things begin to happen. And I started, like, I had one of my relatives was like in Austria. He was a Jewish scientist kind of guy, and before World War II, and he was working with the government and he was high level. And of course the Nazis took him, and what happened to him? But I went up to his house in Austria and I said, Lord, I break any curse on his life. I don't, he wasn't a believer. And I claim all the blessings that he had, the revelation, the, you know, knowledge. And I wonder what it'd be like had we been a family, but we didn't know that side of the family. I go back home. A few weeks later, my dad calls me and says, what did you do when you were in Austria? I said, I did what you told me. Go visit the house of the great-grandfather. He goes, no, you did something spiritual, son. He didn't know what I did. And I said, yeah, I did something. I go, why, dad? He goes, guess what? I found my half-brother after 50 years. They connected to us on Facebook, and they wanted us to come for a family reunion in Berlin. And then wow. I started with downloads of, I would tell my wife as I'm waking up, honey, you know, when you're just waking up from a dream, I understand space travel and time travel. It's so easy. I started getting these downloads of quantum, like God explained to me how when Philip got transported, how it happened on a quantum level where you could break it down and explain it. Crazy stuff. And then I'll start picking up languages. Mm-hmm. My grandfather or great grandfather knew 12 languages. He had a journal with 12 newspapers in 12 different languages for diplomats. And also I started picking up Russian, German on this app. I'm like, let me see if I, and it was in my bloodline because my relatives had lived in some of those countries. So I'd be doing Russian.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, das ist ja gut. Du bist ein guter Junge. And I was like, what's even Finnish? I was picking up this crazy. And I said, the Lord said, well, that's in your bloodline. You're picking up sleeper cells that were now open. So the blood of Jesus, and then get this, the memory of the blood of Jesus. When you take communion, Lord, I take the memory that's in the blood of Jesus of his resurrection. And so taking his blood, it can give supernatural resurrection power to your physical, mortal body, the Bible says. And even in the word, there's a scripture that says, take, eat, this is my flesh, this is my blood. Amen. And there's levels of it where there's a scripture that talks about those who eat my flesh and drink my blood shall not die. Now, we know that means spiritually going to heaven, but there's levels of it on a physical plane that you become unkillable unless the Lord allows it. Even Paul, they could not kill him unless he agreed with the Lord on it. Because he wrote, I don't know if I should stay or if I should go. Meaning God was giving him the choice. Mm. But I think for your sakes, I'll stay a little longer to help the church. So it's like, how many want that relationship with, so you don't fear death? You're so close to God that God lets you in on, you can have discussion about it. Hezekiah, you're going to die. Well, Lord, I restore all the feasts. And one of the blessings of the feast is long life. He negotiated with the Lord, and God changed it and gave him 15 more years.
Yeah, so, right.
Of the blood of Jesus that can extend life. And so when I go to these dangerous countries, I have no fear of death because I know I'm on assignment. I know I'm in God's will. And I know he told me after that place, I need to go here. So I'm full of boldness. But if something were to happen, I'm going to heaven anyway. So the fear of death gets destroyed.
Yeah.
Anything, including death. As a believer, what would you do for the Lord if you had no fear of being canceled? If you had no fear of what the neighbors think? If you had no fear, what would you actually do for the Lord?
Ooh, that's a powerful question and a powerful revelation.
Just open air, you know, something crazy like that.
Right. Oh, I love it. Okay, that's a challenge. I'm going to sit with Jesus on that. Okay, we just have a couple of minutes left. David, please, would you pray for everybody, whatever Father shows you.
Okay, you want me to pray for people? Let me pray about it. Yes, I should pray.
Amen. Okay, good.
Archie, I pray for your glory to come upon them. If they're hungry for your glory right now, I pray for your glory to come now. Holy Spirit, come and let the presence of God's glory overshadow them, even the glory of the Father. Let it come on them so strong that they would so crave your presence and your glory that nothing on this earth would satisfy. Entertainment won't satisfy them. Sports won't satisfy them. Even family and kids won't satisfy their deepest need from the Lord. That only you and your presence would satisfy them. I pray that glory would come, Father, where they're almost like, oh, God, visit me or I want to be in heaven. Let heaven come to them now, Lord. Let them experience the fullness of the glory of God. Jesus, the King of glory, come down now and fulfill them and make it a lifestyle for them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Wow. Wow. Amen. Absolutely.
Feel it?
Blasted. Yes. Cool. Guys, can you feel the presence of the Father right now? The realm of his kingdom just came. Oh my gosh. David, thank you. Thank you for your life. Thank you for all that you do. We're so thankful for your relationship with Jesus and all that you're doing in the nations. Yeah. Just wonderful.
So, and I know we're going to have people writing and asking if they want more info, they can go to our website as well, theglorizone.org, on meetings, events, whatever, products, whatever they want. I just remembered it now. It's very much.
Yeah. So good. And we'll put the link, guys, below the show so you can jump on. And if you can't remember, but I know that you will want to go there. So I just encourage you to experience the glory and impartation and get the book. Yeah, it's very powerful. David, thank you for giving us your precious time.
So much, Liz. It was wonderful being with you.
You too. And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time as well. Have the most incredible week, spending time in the glory, spending time with Father. Different level has opened up to you now, and look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
2 years ago, Jesus spoke to me and he said if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.